Thank you, Phil. And yes, I enjoy being here with my wife, Sharon, and certainly appreciated the time of worship and just lifting up our hearts to the Lord. Had a good trip up, driving up today. We saw a fun sign on the way. It was a temporary sign, but it was very nicely done, like a 4x8 sheet of plywood. The letters were nearly professionally done on 4x4 posts, and the sign read, "Dear Snowplow, please stop hitting our mailbox." And I just thought, wow, that sign illustrates one of the things that I want to communicate today, and that is grace and truth. You know, "Dear Snowplow, please," but then speaking truth. We have been on a journey here as a conference, starting in the year 2010, looking at some of the dreams and visions that God has for us as a conference, and it comes out of Joel 2:28. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." So we are envisioning what God wants to do here in New York State. And yes, we face a lot of challenges, but we also have many, many opportunities. And we've said that New York Mennonite Conference is a multiplying community of new and renewed Anabaptist congregations reaching across the state of New York. And we're beginning to see that happen in a fuller measure. And I'll be reporting some of what's happening across the state here this morning. We have lots of opportunities. And the challenges are actually an opportunity in disguise. And I love to see how God is surprising us and just doing some neat things as we give him time and space. Couple of foundational principles that I want to share with us today. The first one is that God sends us on a mission. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent Jesus on a mission here to this planet. And he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. He came to bring life. Sometimes I and we tend to think, well, God came to earth because he loves us. And yeah, he does love us. But this verse says he loves the world. So it's not just me. He has a heart of compassion for the entire world. He wants to save the world from sin, from injustice, from evil. He sent Jesus to bring light to the darkness. He sent Jesus so that you and I can experience abundant life. Church is not about meeting my needs. Church is about being sent on a mission. And it's an amazing mission. You get to be a co-laborer with God. And God sends us on a mission to people that maybe we think are pretty far from the gospel. When Jesus was walking on earth, you know, you would think, well, he would have reached out to the church people in all likelihood, but he didn't. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, I'm going to read a familiar story about Jesus and Zacchaeus, the tax collector. There were lots of good people, I'm sure, in the crowd. But Jesus chose one in particular. So I'll read first seven verses here at this point. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Jesus sought out an unlikely guy, a tax collector, and said, this is my agenda for the day. Zacchaeus, I think we recognize, was an outcast who was literally up a tree. Jesus knew how to reach him. Jesus showed amazing love and compassion to him. He doesn't just reach to the down and out, but to those who are up and out. He cares for all. Zacchaeus loved his money. He loved his possessions, I think, more than anything else. And because of that love, he was willing even to be a traitor to his own people, his own nation. Instead of paying taxes to Rome, Zacchaeus was willing to work for Rome and collect taxes. And part of the contract that he had with Rome enabled him to collect as much as he wanted. And Roman soldiers would back him up. So tax collectors had a reputation of being thieves and frauds and wealthy. He could keep what he wanted as his own and for his own administrative expenses. And not only was he a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, it says. In other words, he had jurisdiction. He had oversight over some other tax collectors. I believe he was a very lonely man. I don't think there were too many people who wanted to be his friend, especially Jews. And the Romans they looked down on him anyway. But Zacchaeus had been hearing about this man named Jesus, about his miracles, about the things that were happening. And I think Zacchaeus was intrigued by the fact that Jesus had a tax collector, Matthew, who was part of his band, and people, the gossip going around about Jesus was he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So here's Zacchaeus. I think he was very curious. He really wanted to see Jesus. And he knew that Jesus was going through his town there in Jericho. And by the way, 2 years ago, Sharon and I were in Israel, in Jericho. And the picture of a tree there is actually a sycamore tree that I took in pretty much the center of the city of Jericho. So it was pretty neat that our bus driver stopped and were able to see the sycamore tree. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he had a problem. He was short on character, and he was also just plain short, and he couldn't see. So he climbs this tree, and I think he was probably a little bit proud of himself. Maybe he had this nice lookout. He like a ringside seat. Maybe the branches were partially hiding him. I don't know that. But he was waiting, certainly not expecting an encounter with Jesus. And then this huge, I think, entourage of people around Jesus comes by, because Jesus was famous, well-known, had quite a reputation at this time. And when Jesus gets right underneath his tree, he looks up. And he says to Zacchaeus, "Come down. Come be with me." And I think he would have had trouble believing his ears initially, because here is this person that some say is the Messiah. And out of all the good people in Jericho and all the people with good reputations, he's saying, "Zacchaeus, I want to spend time with you. I'd like to come to your house. I want to stay at your house today." And scripture we read says that Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Jesus didn't say you have to repent first. He didn't say you've got to change. He just called him into relationship and said, let's be together. And Zacchaeus responded. Jesus could have chosen some priests from the temple or well-to-do people or respected people, but instead he's picking Zacchaeus, singling him out and saying, hey, let's spend some time together. And I find that to be a challenge to me. Who do I choose to spend some time with? Do I spend time with people maybe whom others might say, well, they have this need or this perceived lack of morals or this particular situation? But Jesus went to be the guest of what they said was a sinner, and people didn't like it. They were muttering about it. What a challenge for me. But Jesus, as we're going to see, came to earth because he wants to spend time with everyone, sinners especially. And he wants to be in relationship with us. He doesn't come to judge us, but to save us. Yes, we will be called to righteousness and our lives will change, but the compassion and grace of our Savior I find to be amazing. And I find it easy to judge people, to look at them and even to think, well, this sin is greater than this sin, or to look down at others. Jesus saw Zacchaeus and he saw someone who had a heart that was desperate for God. I can tend to think I'm righteous, but I'm as big a sinner as anyone in this room, as anyone in this county. We're called instead to walk on earth, humbled by God's grace to us, so that we can extend that grace to other people. We're sent to go where there are needs. And we're seeing God do that across our state. We're seeing God work in some unlikely ways. When I began serving in this role, I had no inkling that one of the doors God was going to open up was with Burmese immigrants. But I have been absolutely blessed and sometimes flabbergasted by their faith and their passion for Jesus and their trust in God. And I know that some of you have been relating to the Buffalo Chin Emmanuel Church, not that far from here. And this past June, another Burmese pastor moved into Syracuse. His name is Pastor Timothy. And I've been able to hear some more stories of his life. He has 5 children. The oldest are teenagers. And God miraculously opened doors after many years in a UN resettlement camp in Malaysia to be able to come. And hearing Pastor Timothy say, God is so wise. He makes a way for his children. We're also reaching to some unlikely neighbors at the Fort Drum Army Base, just outside of Watertown. Some of you would know Ken Landis, Mennonite pastor from Lowellville. And New York Conference has begun a ministry there called Shelter 44, where we're reaching out to the military community at Fort Drum. Doors have been opened because anyone who can help their soldiers as they return, post-traumatic stress syndrome and many crises, they have opened their doors to us as Mennonites to minister the love and grace of Jesus. And the name that Ken Landis chose, Shelter 44. Shelter is a term that's often used in the military. And sometimes in our journey, we need a safe place to rest or just sit down and reflect. And there's a desire to be that place of shelter. The 44 comes from the scripture verse Micah 4:4, where Micah shares an image and a hope that everyone will sit down under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. And I just really deeply appreciate Ken Landis and the ways that he's beginning to interact there on the military base and connect with people. And he talks in his blog about a time where they were presenting an exhibit hall type event with displays from many different organizations and groups. He says, it helps that we have homemade peanut butter cookies and snickerdoodles. And by the end of the day, we've made a lot of good contacts with people. And they ask why we're here, and we say, well, we don't really have a program or anything to sell. We're Mennonites who are often separate from the world, but we decided we simply wanted to be better neighbors. And he writes about an encouraging word that he heard from an active duty soldier who came by, and after hearing what they were about, who they were and what they were about, he said, super cool. And he says, maybe people are more open to us than we realize and open to our views of peace and nonviolence. God is sending us on a mission, all kinds of places, all kinds of people, all kinds of opportunities. And I affirm the ways this congregation has been involved in Buffalo, and I bless you for it. Because as God opens doors to unlikely people and in unlikely places, the next point is that Jesus then is going to transform lives. Because the resurrected Jesus is sending us into a broken world that's full of pain and hurt, and he transforms us. The life of Jesus that you carry will make an eternal difference in the people that you meet. And you know from the story that Zacchaeus was set free. He was no longer in bondage to greed and to money. After dinner, and Jesus had time with him. I don't know what Jesus said. But as I looked here at the chronology, the timing, I think during verse 7, as the people were muttering, I think Jesus was having a meal with Zacchaeus because they were saying he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So the crowd had had this wonderful parade caught with Jesus, and then Jesus takes the detour and goes into Zacchaeus' house for a meal. And they've lost the star attraction. So they're standing outside Zacchaeus' house muttering and grumbling about why would Jesus do this. And then the door opens and Zacchaeus comes out, and Zacchaeus is a new man. Listen as I read verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." He had a new attitude of generosity that he didn't have before. There was genuine repentance. I think giving was a new experience for Zacchaeus. He was used to taking, not giving. Now he's giving half. Imagine, for me to give half of all I own away, that's a challenge. And the word "if" that's there could also be translated "since." If I've cheated anyone, you could also say, since I've cheated anyone. The assumption was that that's how they got to be so rich. He's going to pay them back four times the amount. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 was true for Zacchaeus. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So when we encounter Jesus Christ, things are going to change. Maybe it will be a change from greed to generosity. Maybe he'll be changing us so that instead of having a compulsion to be in control, we can just turn things over to God and submit and release, handing things over to the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Instead of feeling like I need to be secure, we will find our security in God, in Jesus Christ. Or maybe we've had bondages, our chains, our habits, our patterns, or something that happened to us decades ago that we haven't told others about that still has a hold on us. And Jesus Christ comes to set us free. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save what was lost. And he's seeking people like Zacchaeus. He's seeking people like you and I, and wanting us to be found, wanting us to have life, wanting us to be transformed, to have a new attitude. And not only is he doing that for those of us in this room, he's saying, that's why you're here. I have redeemed you and transformed you, not so you can just gather on a Sunday morning, which is right and good, and we need that, but the rest of the week, you're my emissaries. You're representing me, helping people find that life. Jesus is still coming into towns like Jericho or Alden or Williamsville or Buffalo, and he's still looking for people who on the inside have all kinds of pain and hurt and rejection, who are very lonely, and he wants to change them. He wants to have dinner with them. I think that Luke 19:10 is one of the most important verses in the Gospels. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Has Jesus set you free? Has he given you a new attitude? Is he changing you? One of the fun things that is happening back at York's Corners, where I serve as pastor, is a Celebrate Recovery ministry. To vastly summarize it, it's a Christian AA recovery ministry. But in recent months, we're seeing men come to salvation, come to believe in Jesus Christ. People are being set free from addictions, for hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Church people like myself have found it to be a wonderful blessing. A couple weeks ago, I started a baptism class, and the fun part is that everyone in this baptism class has at least 15 to 25 years of addiction in alcohol or drugs or both or you name it. And that is exciting, to see how God is setting people free. You name the difficulties and the struggles, and it's there, and God is at work. Here in New York State, we have some of the most unchurched cities in the entire country. Albany, our capital, has the lowest percentage of people who attend a worship service on any given weekend of any and every city in the United States. There are many needs, but there are also many opportunities. Something that's brand new is a Hispanic church plant in Utica. And support team is meeting with Miguel Monsanto and his wife Narita for the first time this coming Wednesday. He's just been in there a few weeks living in Utica. But he has a passion for evangelism. And we're wanting to reach out to, there's a large percentage of Hispanics who live in our state. God works where the needs are great, where there is a desperation. And as I close, God's strategy to impact the world is the church. We are a visible kingdom community. We're called to bring healing and hope to everyone. Like yeast in the dough, our churches are to permeate and transform our surroundings. It's through the church that God makes his plan of reconciliation made known to the world. And I ask our leadership team at York's Corners, how are we doing? How is God using us, our church? How is God working through this church, this body? In your setting, how are you being salt and light? Because in Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're called to live incarnationally. So we enter deeply into relationships. We spend time with people that others may reject. Not only do we speak good news, but we are good news. We live good news. We're a caring community that doesn't keep it all to ourselves. We demonstrate servant leadership. There is a wonderful group of young adults, Keith and Colleen Christich, who are in their 20s, give leadership to it. They meet on the west side. Less than a year ago, they bought a house there on the west side. And it's a discipleship house, an intentional community. And there are around 10 of them in their 20s. A good number of them are graduates of Houghton College. They are living incarnationally there on the west side with jobs, not necessarily high-paying jobs, but they are serving and living it out and studying the scriptures together. Some of you also know Rod McCallum at Queen City Farms, just on the east side of Buffalo, has been there a number of years, living it out incarnationally, helping their neighbors and working with African Americans, helping their neighbors to raise food and to plant gardens and living out their faith. God gives us power and authority so that we can bring God's power to needy situations. You're facing a crisis, you can pray and God will hear and God will answer. The transforming power of Jesus' life and death and resurrection is ours. And you can take that with you as you pray with your neighbors, as you speak a word of truth. God is calling us to be winsome in our witness. We don't condemn. We speak grace and truth. We pray. We seek God, and I believe God delights in answering. I think you know the story of how 10 men from the Buffalo Chin Emmanuel Church went to pray for Beth Styria a few months ago, earlier last year. They prayed, and God raised her up from the ICU room there in Syracuse, and it was a miracle because of faith. In this whole process, we make disciples. We are Jesus-centered communities that shape and form people so they're more like Jesus. As we abide in Jesus Christ, we carry on that sin-forgiving, bread-breaking, enemy-loving work of Jesus. We invite others to follow Jesus as a community of faith. We have the power of the gospel in our midst. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the history that I read, Mennonite history written here, would have come out of the Harris Hill and Mennonite Church and Clarence Center Akron and here. The first organized church in Erie County was Mennonite. It was in the 1820s. I don't know if you realize that or not. But the two leaders, so one was an Amish man from Pennsylvania, the other was a German Mennonite from Germany. We have a long history here, and I just want to encourage us to return to our calling, to our heritage. We've had this dreams and visions, you know, lifting our heart, our eyes to what God may want to do, and God is doing some new things. And our desire is to align the church with God's mission. That means things are going to change. We won't be going about church as we've always done it. We'll be renewed. We'll actively disciple people. We'll be sent out in the power of the Spirit, living and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And I want to bless and affirm you where you are doing this. We're seeing some new churches begin here in Buffalo and reaching across, you know, in recent months in Syracuse and then in Utica. We're encouraging churches to give birth to other churches. We envision God working in new ways. The churches, the ministries that God establishes won't necessarily look like York's Corners or Alden Mennonite Church. But we'll have the same DNA. We'll be tied together by our confession of faith. I have a slide that shows the map of existing New York Mennonite churches here in New York State. And a couple of these are new in the last couple years. And then another slide of some that are in process. They're emerging. God is, most of them are meeting weekly. Not necessarily all of these will become part of New York Mennonite Conference, but they're places we're engaged and places where the Spirit of God is at work. And he opened up a fun door in Oxford, England. And we've been able to walk through that. Terry Zare has been very instrumental in that. Our desire is to embrace many ethnicities and peoples. We want to learn from our global family of faith. The core message of Zacchaeus is that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. So we need leaders. We need missional leaders. We need people who are passionate and obedient and faithful to what God is doing. Releasing gifts from across the conference, witnessing to the reign of God, inviting others into reconciliation with Jesus Christ. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I think that the gospel compels us to live boldly into the Great Commission. I believe we can ask God to move in our state in significant and powerful ways. I believe that as Anabaptists, this is the time for our message of radical discipleship, peacemaking, and community building as we form new and renewed communities of faith across our state. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge our dependence on you. We're little. You're big. And you have called us, Lord, into an amazing partnership with you to see your Spirit at work, Lord, in our communities and across our state. And we would ask, Lord, that you would do that. I pray blessing, rich blessing here, Lord, on this body. In the name of Jesus, amen.